Welcome. This is the Bible Study on the Messenger of Good News, Worldwide, KFUO. KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks for joining us. Pardon a little bit of distraction today. You know, there's this little thing going on here in St. Louis called a baseball game. Oh, you know, Pastor Shank, nothing much riding on this, just another game, right?
Just a little bit. Now, I mean, it's coming into this area from somewhere else. It's definitely a new understanding of craziness when it comes to baseball fever here.
Now, when you were up in Michigan as a kid, did you experience this with the Tigers?
Well, when I grew up as a child, you know, I was born in 1980. So then,
oh my! You're an infant, my friend, compared to me. I'm sorry.
So when I was very young,
I graduated high school in 1980.
Sorry about that.
Well, so were my teachers.
they handed you a diploma and then apologized to everybody else.
That's right.
I'm not responsible for this one.
That's right.
So the Tigers were great when I was 4 and 7, and then when I was old enough to know, they weren't until now, so it's great. Yeah, so they're hopefully we'll get another shot at the Cardinals.
Well, you know,
we can both be there.
The big man in the office down the hall, the boss, big Tigers fan.
Yeah, they're
doing okay. They did all right last night.
And I'm from Southern Illinois district.
Yeah,
and so our big guy, he was quite tall, big man himself.
Tim Schar.
Yeah, great man. He's a Tigers fan too.
Is he?
Yeah,
I'd love to see a World Series. A Detroit St. Louis World Series.
It'd be fun.
Yeah, it'll only be 4 games.
The Cardinals.
I'm a homer. I confess, I'm not ashamed of the fact that I'm a homer.
As you're wearing your jersey.
Hope springs eternal. We'll see what happens. If, God willing, the creek don't rise, it could be interesting. Because the good folks in Detroit, they've been waiting for a while. And here in St. Louis, we have a history. We have a tradition. We expect a lot out of our guys.
Yeah.
Because they deliver.
You with the Cardinals are like us with the Red Wings. We expect a Stanley Cup.
Someday we'll play hockey in St. Louis again.
Is there hockey in St. Louis?
I don't know. Anyway, before this degrades into really awful sports talk, we have a Bible study to do. What do you think about
there we
that?
Go. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's an exciting time. So I thank the listeners for begrudging me a few moments here to dwell on that.
Yeah.
But Romans chapter 8, verses 33 and 30. Did I say chapters 38? No, verse 33 and 34 is your assignment for today. And other than that, I should mention properly that Pastor John Shank is from Trinity Lutheran Church in Edwardsville, Illinois. And be careful, because we know that Southern Illinois is Cardinal Nation.
It is Cardinal Nation.
So no Tiger bumper stickers.
We do anyways.
Yeah.
It's all right. They accept me and with all my sins.
Yeah. And also thanks to the good folks here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and the International Center, because on days like this, when the Cardinals play at home, they allow us to wear red, so it looks like Pentecost in the building everywhere you turn. It's great.
Well, it's getting close to Reformation.
And then life is theology, so you always make these connections. So if you would, Pastor Shank, could we start with prayer?
Let's pray.
We'll get right to this.
Yeah. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we come before you, O Lord, we ask you to open our eyes and our ears to see and hear in your very word our salvation. Be with us as we discuss these things, as we dive into your word and see Christ and his action for us, as we see him come to us as the one who suffered and died and rose again. Help us to be comforted by the message of your calling us into this faith, into this salvation, which we have assurance that you will come again on the last day and bring us unto yourself, into that marriage feast in his kingdom, which has no end. In Jesus' name we pray, for he lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. If you'd like to get in today as we discuss Romans chapter 8, verses 33 and 34, here in the St. Louis area, 1-800-730-2727. When I say St. Louis area, that includes Edwardsville, which is over in Southern Illinois. The local number, 821-0850, might not reach that far in, so try that 800 number. Either way, if that doesn't work, try the email. It works great. KFUO at, do you know this? No? KFUO.org. You should have that written down.
I do.
You should have that in your iPhone. Heart. You should have that written on the wall of your home. Etch it into your, you know, the case of your laptop. Always have that because you never know when you might hear something. You want to, you know, we got a couple of delightful emails this morning from listeners talking about how they've been enjoying the Romans series.
That's great.
And I made mention, about a week or so ago, maybe a little bit longer, about that old Lutheran TV series, This is the Life. You know, and I get folks writing in, sending me emails with links to all kinds of YouTube videos. It's cool. I love, this is probably the best job anybody can have.
The internet is fantastic. I mean, people around the world can listen and can hear, and we can, one of the great things that we have about the website is that you can go back and listen to past studies. If you're going to, if you know that your pastor is preaching or teaching on something, you can listen and then be able to participate and ask questions and bring up stuff from other pastors. Yeah. It's a wonderful resource.
And by the time we finish Romans, you can travel around the world in 80 days twice and listen to every lesson. Isn't that cool? All right, here's our text for today, Romans chapter 8, verses 33 and 34. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. That is the text for today. Let's start out with a simple comparative, Pastor Shank. What's the difference between being justified and being condemned?
Okay. Yeah. You know, these words, we don't normally speak of them in normal common language, right? I don't think you walk around and use that terminology very much. But it is definitely terminology that is used in our life. If you are more in the legal realm, right? These are those kind of terminology, right? So we're talking about legal terms for which something is declared. We're talking about a judge who declares things either to be condemned, to be guilty, right, of sin, of going against, of falling short, of all these things, right?
Yes.
And or one to be declared to be just, to be justified, to be righteous, to be declared right, right? So these are relational terms as they are legal terms, because what are we condemned, or what are we justified in relation to? And that relation to is our relationship with God himself, right? So are we in right relationship with him based on our own actions, based on the things for which we have done, based on our inward self, or are we condemned based on our own actions?
Now, we know that only God can justify. We can't self-justify. In terms of salvation.
Yeah, when you say we know that, who are you talking about?
Oh, all the listeners.
Are they? Okay.
All the well-informed people that tune into the Bible study every day.
Okay.
They know this. A lot of folks out there who don't.
I pray that they do.
Maybe don't know this. But if, let's run with that for a moment, though.
Sure.
God is the only one who can justify. Who gets the right to condemn?
Okay, yeah.
Do I? Because I got a list.
You're making your list and checking it twice.
Ooh,
right?
Yes.
Besides Santa Claus, who else can condemn? That is the question of the text, right? Who has that ability? Who is the accuser?
Mm-hmm.
Who gets to accuse us of our sins and bring those sins against us? The question of this text would not to jump to the conclusion, was to help us to say no one can, right? There is no one who can do that. If Christ is the one who has died and rose again, who is it that can condemn you, Roland, right? But does that stop that from happening or attempting, right? Because there is this accuser. There is Satan himself who accuses us of our sins. There is our own sinfulness, which tries to bring our attention away from the reality of our justification, of our righteousness, which is made manifest in this text, right? We have this text which tells us where is this to be found, right?
Right.
And we'll get to that. But it's to draw our attention away from that objective reality, of that reality that happens outside of your action, but somebody's action for you. And so, yes, there are those that do, and we do this not only to others, but even more than that, to ourselves, right? When the reality of our sin is really made known, is really revealed, how wretched of a person I am.
Mm. And that's the thing about Satan. Satan cannot condemn. That's, like you said, a legal term. That's something that the judge ultimately determines.
Sure.
Freedom or condemnation. All he can do is accuse. All Satan can do is say that we are meritorious of condemnation because of our sin, but he can't be the one to condemn us.
Right. He's not God.
Then why do we give him that authority? Or at least, you know, ascribe it to him?
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's definitely a lot of philosophy, a lot of misunderstanding. You know, we can use the terminology, but I won't, just because I don't think it's helpful. So there's a false teaching out there that would propose that good and evil are equal forces, right?
Right.
And these equal forces are out there to get you, who are a neutral party to these equal and opposite forces,
yeah.
Right?
Yin and yang, right, yeah.
Yang and yang, but it goes beyond all that, right?
Right.
It's within our Christian history as well that we had to fight against or confess against that, right? Teaching. And so that thread of falseness continues to spike up these weeds that have to be mowed down, right? And so these weeds of error continue to try to fester in the garden of the kingdom. And so we as teachers, we as Christians, we need to work this and remove those weeds that try to come up and try to give Satan things that do not belong to him, an authority that has been given to Christ himself to reign, a right-handed right? That's yeah. Coming up here in our text, that the fact that he is at the right hand of God, what does that mean? And how does that interrelate to then the way that we can have confidence in our day-to-day life?
So why does God justify? I mean, we know why Satan attempts to condemn us and accuses us, but why does God justify? What's in it for him?
Yeah, what's in it for him is the suffering and death, but what is in it for him is his nature as God, right? And in his nature as God, he has revealed that he is merciful and he is loving and he is gracious. These are not just things that he produces, but as he produces them, he reveals that he is them, right? This is who he is as God, as love, right?
Well, can you also say then that God is condemnation? Is that an attribute, an aspect of his nature?
That's an alien work of God. That is not who he is by his nature. But the reality of our condemnation is declaring who we are, not who he is. And that stinks, doesn't it?
Yeah, not hip to that program. Yeah.
You know, we'd like to just be like, wow, God is so condemning. No, God declares what is, right? He is the merciful one. He is the one who brings about our salvation, and we are the ones who fell.
So he's simply identifying a condition of our being?
Yeah. And our being, which has been corrupted, not by its essential nature, right? Because Christ has taken on our nature, right?
Right.
So
right.
For humanity, there has been something added to the mix, something that's been added to his good design, which is sin, right? Which is so corrupting that we don't fully, you know, we in our society don't give it much thought, right? Sin is those little oopsies that we do along the way, you know. Oops, I've got this little bit of mud on my fingers. I'll go home and wash that off myself. But we don't give it its full understanding, its full meaning that, no, it's more than that, right? It's this disease that flows through my veins that I cannot save myself. Just as it would be foolish to look at a person with a cancer that runs through their blood to say, well, why don't you just want to be better? I mean, that would be such a cold-hearted, foolish understanding of this disease that we cannot just will ourselves to be better. We must be healed. We must be cleansed. You know, unfortunately, we don't understand the totality of sin, so then we don't give Christ the full credit of our salvation. We want to continue to steal from God what is His.
What is the standard that God uses to make the decision between justification and condemnation?
Yeah. Wouldn't we love it to just be close enough?
Yeah.
Wouldn't we love that standard to be... You know, try.
69 was a passing grade when I was in high school.
Yeah. Nice try. You know, well.
Man, you saw right through me on that one, didn't you?
Yeah. You know, well, that was a good shot. You know, you tried out for the team. You know, all these things for our, you know, that we have in our society. You get a ribbon for participating, Roland. No. You must be perfect.
Well, thank
as
you.
The Lord your God is perfect. That stinks.
Well, we all know that we're not.
Because we're not. Well, yeah. I don't know if that
See,
is
I'm
true.
Humble. I'm a humble man and proud of that fact. I can admit it.
I'm glad you can. I'm glad you can confess your sins because I don't see that in my society that I live in. I don't see I don't live in the same world that you live in, I guess. Because
the world of radio. It's filled with a different kind of people. Trust me.
I didn't know they were so humble. That they all confess the reality that they are sinful and they have not created this reality, this world. Because the world that I live in, the people that I interact with, the TV that I turn on, and I thought the radio that I listened to. wow. Maybe I should only listen to KFUO. That's my problem.
Well, that's my advice.
And it's a wonderful advice.
Unless you're listening to baseball, then you're that's okay. An exception. We don't carry that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that I don't see people actually recognizing the fact that they have sin. I think they might recognize that they aren't perfect, but I don't think that they believe that is a thing that should condemn. And that's a fault of God, that God should hold them to such a standard in which they cannot keep.
Well, He didn't cause us to be sinners. See, and I think that's the perception you're getting at, is that people assume that if God condemns us, He set up the conditions by which we are condemned.
Yeah, there is a multiplicity of things that people get wrong when it comes to the true Christian teaching. And especially when it comes to the teaching of here election, predestination, that this is actually supposed to be a comforting message of God's action. And yet we want to reserve some things for our own. But we don't understand the fault in that logic, which means if you want to reserve some for yourself, then you have to pay for it yourself. And we don't want to do that.
No.
You know, we don't want to say, okay, Jesus, you did a great job on the cross there, but come down, let me go up there for you to pay for my sins. We don't want to do that.
Another baseball illustration coming at you from out of left field here. Is Satan then right to accuse us?
Right in the sense that we are sinners.
Okay.
Wrong in the sense that he misses the fact that Christ... has accomplished, right? He's continually trying to accuse us of something that is no longer ours.
Here's just a little sidebar for you, because when we get these emails, I'd like to go right to them.
Please do.
All right, this is from Roger. He sends this in. He says, excuse me, just sending along a note of appreciation to all of our Bible study pastors for all the great work you do.
Thank you.
And you happen to be leading that parade today, and I agree with that. Thanks to all of you at KFUO during Pastor Appreciation Month. It is Pastor Appreciation Month, isn't it?
It is.
How can I show you my appreciation today?
Well, I think you already have. You have. By sharing that message, that was wonderful.
Well, Roger, thank you. That's a good reminder. I don't think that I've mentioned it yet, but yes, October is Pastor Appreciation Month.
Thank you.
So do something nice for your pastor.
Yeah. Yep. Just say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And as pastors, what I need the most is the prayers of my people and the encouragement of my people to stand with me, because it is difficult not just to be a pastor, but to be a Christian in our world. So let us come together.
But let's be honest. Mm-hmm. Give credit, Tony's would be nice also. Well, you know, you won't say that. I will.
And I appreciate that.
Seriously, consider that. Give your pastor something nice in addition to the best gift you can give him, your prayers.
Thank you.
All right, back on course here. I asked about Satan accusing us. You know, the synopsis of the law is that we're supposed to love God, love our neighbor with our whole being, our heart, our soul, our mind, all of this, right? And we all know that none of us can do this the way it's described, commended to us to be done.
Sure.
Right?
We've covered that, right?
Okay. So should I feel guilty about that?
You should.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my self-esteem is hurting now.
Sorry.
I know, I was feeling pretty good about myself until I started talking to you.
You'd be amazed at what I can do.
Yeah?
The sense of feeling guilty is not what justifies, though, right? We don't walk around feeling guilty so that God will justify me, right?
Yeah.
My sorrow over my sin is a reality for which comes to me, not because I even create that.
Yeah.
I'm not even good enough to see how bad I am. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
In my sin, I'm so blinded, I think that I'm better than what I am. So I do not even produce this sorrow over my sin. That has to come to me through God's word, right? Through the preaching of his law, which you've done, you know, Roman, if you want to beat yourself up for a moment, just
go back and read the first six chapters of Romans.
Just go back for a little bit and you'll see the total messed up sense of our being as a human being apart from Christ. There you go, Romans 1. When you go through that word and it's revealed to you, then there's contrition, you know?
There's contrition. Now, that was one of the questions I wanted to ask about how you deal with guilt. So let me, with about a minute before we have to go to the break, made a little list here. When it comes to guilt, you can either deny it, right? You can ignore it. You can embrace it. You know, I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints, kind of thing. You can become obsessed and overwhelmed by it, right? You can lie to yourself about it, like you were pointing out, or you can just medicate it away, either by way of doctors or self-medicating. Anything I should have put on that list about how to deal with guilt?
How about absolve, forgive?
What? There's yet another option?
Yes.
Why do I not think of these things first?
Because we try... We continue to fall into the first sin. Let me take care of this myself. Let me be God myself.
Well, we are Americans.
We are.
No, I mean, really, we aren't. We're the Marlboro Man sitting on his horse facing the sunset, trusty Winchester at his side, all alone.
And that is, all alone is fully idolatrous in yourself, right?
Yeah.
That I need no one. That is Satan, right? So... We need something else besides our own action.
And we will get to that right after this break. Join us, 821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. And if, like Roger, you'd like to email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. It's the Bible study. We're in Romans chapter 8, 33 and 34, the verses assigned for today. Stick around. We will be right back.
Martin Luther once proclaimed, "I have no pleasure in any man who despises music. It is no invention of ours. It is a gift of God. I place it next to theology. Satan hates music. He knows how it drives the evil spirit out of us." We're now providing beautiful classical music and sacred classics online 24 hours a day at classic99.com. Take pleasure in this gift. classic99.com, a ministry of KFUO Radio.
Did you know that you can support KFUO Radio with your Thrivent Choice dollars? Thrivent Choice lets you recommend where some of Thrivent Financial's charitable outreach funds go by directing your choice dollars. Call 800-847-4836 and say Thrivent Choice, or visit thrivent.com/choicedollars for information on how you can support KFUO Radio with your choice dollars.
Book Talk is for all who like books about the Christian faith, and there are so many of them, old books, new books, classic books. Jiminy Durante says it well.
I'll never forget the day I read a book. It was contagious, 70 pages. There were pictures here and there, so it wasn't hard to
bear. That's what we do on Book Talk. Remember the day we read the book and chat about it with its author. Join us, live streaming archive.
Welcome back. It's the Bible Study on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide. KFUO, Pastor John Shank is here. He serves at Trinity Lutheran Church in Edwardsville, Illinois. Hey, take just a moment, Pastor Shank. Tell the folks, if they've not, because we're picking up new listeners all the time on the Bible Study, not necessarily during the live broadcast, but you would not believe how many people download the MP3s at KFUO.org. So take a moment and tell the folks about Trinity.
Trinity, we are in Edwardsville, as you said, 600 Water Street. We have our three services on the weekends: Saturday night at 5:30, Sunday morning at 8, and Bible study at 9:15, and a 10:30 late service. We also have a wonderful school from 2 years old all the way through eighth grade, and a daycare. So I'd encourage you to look us up, Trinity Lutheran Ministries. So Trinity through Lutheran Ministries, because we have a school and a daycare as well. Look us up. And we have to plug another thing in our city. We have our Lutheran High.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Metro East.
Metro East Lutheran High. School. Very proud of our Lutheran High.
Pride is a sin, isn't it? You'll have to confess that one as well.
No, because I can be boastful in Christ of the preaching for which they do for our children.
All right. Well, thanks for doing that, because I think there are folks that are listening in Southern Illinois, maybe new to the area, would like to find a church home.
And we'd love to have them.
Check out Trinity over there in Edwardsville. I'm sure you've got a website.
We do. TrinityLutheranMinistries.org.
All right. Now, as we went to the break, we were talking about feeling guilty. And you're doing a pretty good job of slaying my self-esteem.
Sorry. Because if it's self-esteem, it should be slayed.
Well, this remorse, this guilt, whatever you want to call it, put a different term on it if you like, but essentially guilt, that comes out of feeling bad about your sin. And here's the problem. If Jesus Christ bore the punishment for all of my sins, past, present, future, I'm baptized. I'm a redeemed child of Christ. I am justified. Why should I pay any attention to my sin?
Okay. So Christ died for you, you're saying, right?
Yes.
This Jesus.
I've read that somewhere, yes.
And who is this Jesus? Who is
Son of
he?
God.
Son of God. So the Son of God, who is God for all eternity, he created us.
Yeah.
And in our fallen self, he saw, even before the foundation of the world, that he would have to come and die for us. And yet he still created. And yet he still came, and he suffered, and he died, and he rose again for you. And you're saying all these things he has done for you, Roland?
Yes.
So how are you doing today in your love and admiration for him?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm feeling pretty fine.
And how are you doing in your love?
I've got my Uber Christian t-shirt on.
Great. And so how are you doing in your love for your neighbor who has...
But who's my neighbor? the ones I like, I'm doing pretty well with.
Okay, so the ones you like. You like your family?
Most of them.
Okay. You like your wife?
Just being brutal. Oh, well, lately she's been doing all right, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
yeah. So how devoted and how much are you serving her as Christ served the church and gave himself up for her?
I made dinner last night.
So that's,
I think I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah. Checklist, Jesus. Jesus and his love for us was just like you making dinner for your wife. That's pretty much summation of Romans 25.
Yeah.
I think if you take a closer look at Romans 25, in the full sacrifice of Christ for his bride, us, the church.
The church, yeah.
We might fall a little short of that as husbands.
A little, okay.
A little bit.
A little.
If we're taking an honest look about us dying daily for our wives and putting their needs above our own, I think there might be times which we put our own needs above theirs. Just a few.
A few.
Maybe a time or two. As a Christian man, I think that should bother us. That as Christ has died for me, yet as I live in him, I still falter. Hmm. I still fall short. I still do not manifest the love for which I should have. You know, you say, well, I don't know those neighbors out there. Well, that's fine. You want to play that game. But what about the neighbors, your closest neighbor, your own family? How good are you doing at showing and being Christ for them, right? So that to me bothers me as a pastor and as a Christian man. I'm bothered by my own sinfulness, and that's something that I'm then called to repent of, this sin of mine, right?
Are you condemning me?
I am preaching the law which does condemn. It's not my law.
Now, wait a minute. All the way back in Romans 8:1, Paul says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Why are you condemning me with the law?
Because the old man is never in Christ.
Oh.
The old Adam never gets converted. What happens to that old man? He dies.
He hangs around, unfortunately. Yeah.
So we can continue to kill him. And we kill him by the preaching of the law. We kill him through the baptism for which we are so blessed to have.
So pointing out my sin is a good thing?
It's a wonderful thing.
Get out of Dodge.
Because we get to see that we are in Christ. You know, you talked about this self-esteem, right?
Yeah.
That's
culture's a bit obsessed with that. You want to see somebody obsessed with self-esteem? See Miley Cyrus. How's that working out for her?
Yeah, there's a lot of others that need to know that we have something better than a self-esteem, right?
Right.
That we have this Christ, and we can be found in him instead of being found in a dead self.
I think one of the KFUO old-timers, Don Matzett, wrote a book called Christ Esteem.
Yeah, yeah.
As a counterweight to that.
Yeah, and that's, you know, if I want to find worth in myself, then I'll find myself along this broken-down, burned-out world, and I'll be in them. But I'd rather have a worth that surpasses all that, a worth in Christ, for we just talked about this Christ who deemed you worthy to die for, not because of the reality of this intrinsic value within us, because in us is sin, but in him, he gives us value, and we're given value in Christ. Because of his sacrifice, I have a worth that can never be taken from me.
You can join us, 8210.
Good morning, Brother Roland. Hi, Pastor.
Hi, Linda.
Wow, what a wonderful lesson this morning. And you mentioned Pastor Matzett just now. I remember him saying, well, it's easy to say I can walk until I get out of my easy chair, you know. Fall over everything.
Yeah.
But I know, like you say, it's the living out in the fiery circumstances that, yeah, Jesus is right about me. I am a sinner. I didn't handle this well. He prunes us back because he can't use anything of me. I have to be pruned back daily and drowned daily in my baptism. And like you said, Pastor, the healing for guilt, the healing for me, it's the absolution, the forgiveness by his blood. And also it's his love, that he loves us so much, and we know he's interceding. You know, he is standing when we're going through the fiery trials. He is standing like he did when Stephen was actually dying. He was standing at the right hand of God, and that is what gives us the love and the peace and whatever we need to get through each trial and whatever we need to get up and try again after we fall out of our easy chair. So, but okay, thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, Linda.
Yeah, we talked about that whole list, and I guess it's a good time to turn back. You talked about, you know, what are we to do with ourselves and sin, or I forget exactly.
How do we deal with guilt?
How do we deal with the guilt?
Deny it, ignore it, embrace it, you know, be an uber sinner because, you know, that really flies in the face of God.
Medicate it, self-medicate it,
even, you know, professionally medicate it, that kind of thing, yeah.
Sure. So there's all these things for which the world says, okay, these are your options, right? And yet Christ gives us another option. Which is forgiveness, which is to be absolved, to be have that sin be removed, right? Because when Christ comes through the preaching of his law, he doesn't say to you, "Oh, it's okay, right, that you did that." He doesn't kind of pass over it in a way that he pats you on the head and says, "Oh, that's all right. You tried really hard, right?" Hmm. He doesn't just say, okay, well, you know, there's this sin and these are the means by which you can deal with it. Instead, he acknowledges, right, this is sin and this is what separates me from you. And he doesn't want that. And so this is the means by which he has ended that, which is, I have taken your sin. Your sin is no longer yours, it is mine. And what did I do with your sin? I paid for it on the cross. And that is to be absolved, to have it removed, to have it to be taken from you. So it's not that God says, oh, it's okay to sin. It's not. And it is so not okay that he had to take it from us.
How does Satan use, now I think this is maybe important since we're talking about guilt and in light of Linda's call, how does Satan use guilt to break, if I can put it that way, to break our faith?
Because he's trying to use guilt to sever that relationship, right? And that's the problem with unabsolved or unforgiven sin, right? And that's why you said, well, why should we care? Well, because sin is leading us into an unbelief, right? It is leading us away from that relationship which we have in Christ, right? Of this action that Christ did for us. And so when we're led away from Christ, we're led away from that only thing, that only one who justifies us, who makes us righteous, who gives us his righteousness, you know? And when we talked back in chapter 6, I mean, we're clothed in that righteousness, right? So if he is using that guilt, which is a means by which he can say, well, you know, look at you as Christian, look at what you have done, right? Either in a sense of pride, look how great you are, look how sinless you are, because he'll use that too, or he'll look at you and say, yeah, see your sin. See how horrible you are. See how you act towards your wife. See how you act towards your child. See how you act towards your employer. See how you act towards your pastor. See how you act in the service. You don't even pay attention to his word. How do you call yourself a Christian, right? You're lazy. And God doesn't come to you and say, no, you're not. You're not lazy. He instead says, absolutely you are. Absolutely you are lazy. Absolutely you are a sinner. Absolutely, you are horrible towards your wife and your children, right? And in that, he then says, in the stead, right? Through the pastor, in the stead and by the command, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you your sin, right? He doesn't say, so what are you going to do about it, right? He doesn't say, yes, you're lazy, so what are you going to do? No, he points you away from you. He points you to Christ. Look what he did. Look what he endured. Look what he died. Look that he rose again to show you that this payment has been made for you. You are covered. You are in Christ.
I've confessed. I've even come to you privately, which used to be something more routine for Lutherans. But let's say I come to you privately as my pastor and I confess a certain sin to you and you absolve me. You know, I make the good confession and you absolve me, but I still feel shame and I still feel worthless and I still feel that, you know, well, even that's just not, you know, going to be one of those things that God can forgive. Well, you know, what do we do with that? You know, because I've repented, I've confessed, I've been absolved, and it just doesn't seem to, dare I say, work.
Right. Yeah, because then we are still in our the idolatry of feeling, right? The sense that my feelings are what justifies me. And even that Satan uses to accuse us Christians, because if we don't feel a certain way, then of course then we aren't justified. No, we then are driven, and I pray that you'd be driven by your pastor, by your fellow Christians, by the very word of God, back to Christ, who comes to us in a way that isn't changed, corrected, adjusted, whatever words we want to use, by our feelings. It's a truth. So where is that then? Well, it's again places we've talked about here in Romans, right? This text didn't start off. Romans didn't start with Romans 8:33 and 34. He's been moving towards this, right? And as he's moved towards this, he's moved through that objective reality, which is Christ for you in baptism. You've been united to him. You've been given this reality, right? And so then as a Christian who is a baptized member of the household of God, as an heir of these gifts, and you're still saying, but I still sin. I'm still starving for his salvation. Well, good. Then come and be fed, right? And when we as Christians, unfortunately, sever ourselves off from the meal by not coming to the meal, right? By not coming to church, by not coming to hear his word, by not coming to be fed. Well, what's the reality? Well, then we are starving. So come and be fed. Because there in the meal, what is happening for you? Salvation, Christ himself, is being put into your very lips, is being poured down your very throats. You know, these things are not tied to how you feel about them, but instead what Christ says about them.
Let's flip the coin for a moment, okay? What if I don't feel guilty? You know, should I still go through the motions of confessing? What if I feel pretty good about myself?
Then yes, you need to.
And what if that keeps me from church? And what if that keeps me from the meal? Because I'm sure. Doing so well this week. Things are going my way. Everything's coming up roses.
Yeah, and I think that's the greater reality.
And God must really like me, so I get some time off this Sunday.
Yeah, I think you're pointing to a more common reality for us as American Christians, because we've got things so wonderfully easy. You might point to how difficult it is because you work, and but you have work to do, and you have food in your plate, and you have a house, and you have a home, and you have family, and you've got two cars. I mean, we are extremely wealthy as a nation. Even the poorest among us are the wealthy. So then we get complacent in the fact of where did this come from?
Yeah.
You know, and so, yes,
we deserve this.
Yeah. When we want to point to what we deserve, then we need to point back to our condemnation.
Nothing but temporal and eternal punishment is the last I recall. But yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And that's why we continue to need the preaching of the law, so that self-righteousness within us may be condemned. We need Christ in the preaching of the Sermon on the Mount, so he can take the sword and run it right through our very hearts, because it is so callous towards our sin at sometimes, and oversensitive towards our sins and others. And that's the fickleness of us as Christians, right? At some time, I don't care about my sin. It doesn't mean anything. So I need the preaching of his law there. And it's other times I'm so convicted about my sin that I don't even think that I could ever be a Christian, right? And so I need to be comforted, and I need the healing medicine of his gospel of Christ. So yeah, I need the whole counsel of God all the time, because about myself, I'm this wayward sheep that doesn't know what is a good pasture, where to lay down, or I will lay down in the most dangerous place and think that I'm safe, where I'm in danger because all I am around is wolves. I think that this is good water to drink, but it's a cesspool. So I just drink of the cesspool. I need my shepherd to take me to clear waters, the clear waters of his word. I need my shepherd to lead me and tell me, now lay down, you silly sheep. This is where you are to lay down. This is good food for you because you don't know. You think that the thistle is something that you should chew on, and yet your mouth is just nothing but bloodied. You think that the mud is what you should drink, and you're too blind to see, right? Right. And so I'm going to place you on my shoulders, and I'm going to bring you back to the fold, and there I will protect you. For this is what I have done for you, my sheep, for I am the shepherd. That's Christ. And that's Christ in our text. And the times that we want to see of our salvation, it's right there, right? Christ Jesus is the one who died, right? Not you, Roland. Christ Jesus died. More than that, he rose, right? And he's at the right hand of God. He is not only the one who died and rose, but now he reigns. Now he's the one who is interceding, by which he shows God the Father his sacrifice, his eternal sacrifice for us.
So if you're not feeling guilty about your sin, does it necessarily follow then that you're not feeling the necessity for a Savior?
Does
feeling have anything to do with it?
Yeah, I was about to say, at some point in the day, I don't really care how we feel. and not to be callous towards our feelings. Our feelings can be great if they're in line with the Word of God.
Why did God give us feelings if they're so distrusted?
Well, unfortunately, he gave us a flesh, and he gave us all these things. Unfortunately, the unfortunate part about it is that we took his good gifts and we covered them in the filth of sin, right? Feelings are a wonderful good gift in Christ, in line with his word, in line with the rejoicing of him as Savior. But if they want to rejoice in anything else, in ourselves, in the world, and in the things of this world, and not in Christ, well, then they need to be corrected too. Just as my reason is a wonderful gift of God, if it is and used in a way to read his word, to understand the language, to understand these things, but if it's saying, how can God do this? How can God be man and God at the same time? This cannot be. Then my reason itself needs to be corrected by the very God who gave it and created it. And same thing with my flesh. My flesh is great, but if my flesh wants to desire what has not been given to it, another woman, money that is not mine, another house, all these things, then my flesh needs to be corrected. So the feelings and emotions are not separated from the rest of our fallen nature.
Does my salvation rest on faith, or does it rest on confession?
I don't know why are we making distinctions?
Because it's a radio program, and that's the point of putting you guys in the hot seat. Then explain how the two relate.
Because what is our faith, right? Our faith is in a Christ who has died for me. That is a confession. Right? It's a confession of faith, right? Faith that is not confessed is not faith. We're trying to create something that doesn't exist, right? A quadricorn, right? Those don't exist. It's a great commercial. But it doesn't exist. A faith that is not preached does not beget faith. I don't have faith apart from the faith that has been preached to me, which is a confession that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and the Savior has come and has saved you. So what are we talking about? We're talking about quadricorns.
You know, we've covered a lot of ground on this program over the years. I don't know that we'd ever expect to get to a quadricorn.
It's a secret word of the day. Ding, ding, ding.
That's right.
Nailed it.
What was that Groucho Marx thing you brought from the state of the world? Congratulations. You won $100. Yeah.
All right. I'll be looking for my door prize.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it to be rude to a good question, right?
Right.
It's a good question in the sense that where is our salvation? Our salvation is in Christ, who has done this for you, which speaks of a confession of the lips, because it's this witness, right? We had LWML weekend this last weekend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in Luke chapter 24, Christ talks about the necessity of the preaching of his word, that Christ would suffer and die and rise, but that his word would be preached is also united to that. It's not separate from that. It's in that. These things go out because that's who he is and that's what he does.
With 2 minutes left, I think we need to land this plane on this runway. When the text mentions that Christ is seated at the right hand of God, what does that mean, and why is it important that we have an intercessor working on our behalf? Because, I mean, what brought to mind when I read that was Peter and how Jesus declares that Satan is asked to sift you like wheat.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So one thing is, let's get out of the locale thought of the right hand, right?
Okay.
That the ascended Christ is stuck somewhere at the right hand of God. The right hand of God is much different and more than that. We're talking about God's right hand man, the one who is in charge, right? The one who has been given authority and has received that authority to then reign and be in control because of what he has done for us, right? So he's the King of Kings. He's the one who is in charge, right? And that's what speaks of right hand, because for a lot of us, we are right-handed. That is the place of our power and strength, right? So what is the power and strength and will and reign of God? It is seen in Christ. And why do we need that? Because I need him to save me, because I can't save myself. And what has he done? He has come down and he has accomplished that. And he has now the authority to then continue the work of bringing us sinners into that faith, into that relationship, into that kingdom, because he is at the right hand of God.
And when Satan demands to sift Peter like wheat, what does Jesus say that he did?
Yeah, yeah. So
he prayed for him. And that's what's taking place there at the right hand of God.
Yeah, this intercession, this prayer language, this reality in which we are in the very heart of God. We are in the very presence of the King, because he has made us him, in him, with him.
Pastor John Shank, my guest today on the Bible Study, serves at Trinity Lutheran Church in Edwardsville, Illinois. Do check them out online
at TrinityLutheranMinistries.org.
Thank you, my friend. Great lesson today.
Thank you.
All right, stay tuned. You've got Faith and Family next, then Pastor Mark Hawkinson with Moments of Assurance, and lots more programming to follow. It's a great day to be with KFUO. Stick around.
Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Bible Study archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.